Well, let's pray together as we turn to God's word. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you are the God who speaks, and that this morning we can hear you speaking to us through your word. Speak powerfully, we pray, Father. Help reassure us. Help us know who you are. Help us know your good plan for each and every one of us this morning in your word. And we pray these things in Christ's name. Well, it's been quite a week, hasn't it? I mean, if you think, if we went to the start of the year and if I was to ask you, what do you think would be the biggest news story that would be dominating all of our headlines over the course of the year? I'm sure you'd probably say something like Brexit. Or maybe you would think of Boris Johnson's whopping majority and all that money he's going to spend up in the north of England. Or maybe you might have thought of something else entirely. Who was going to win the Eurovision? Who was going to dominate in the Tokyo Olympics? But actually, as the year has gone on, we found out that our plans are not the same as God's plans. And that this year, our story is being dominated by a pandemic, by a virus, by the coronavirus, which seems to be spreading all around the world and is causing chaos and mischief. This week alone, we've seen churches closed. After all, I'm here on a Saturday morning in a really empty church, whereas normally we would gather together weekly to celebrate, to sing, to pray together. But we can't do that because we've had to close. Schools are closed, shops are closed, cafes and restaurants and pubs are closed, hospitals are either emptying out or they're filling up, because things have changed. And this morning, I want to give you reassurance from God's word. We're going to be looking at Psalm 46 together, a really well-known psalm, which is going to help us to hear what God has to say to us in these difficult and surprising and testing times. Because the message of Psalm 46 is simple and clear. Is that the Lord is in control. And because he's in control, he can be trusted. The Lord can be trusted. Because the God who we worship, the God who we know, is all-powerful and almighty, and he's good, and he's pure, and he's the creator of the universe. And if we're his children, if we're Christians, then even though things seem uncertain, we know that God is working for our good. The Lord is trustworthy. So let's turn, if you've got a Bible there, maybe you've got it on your phone, maybe you've got one off the bookshelf, let's turn in our Bibles to Psalm 46 together, and we're going to read together from God's word. Psalm 46. For the director of music of the sons of Korah, according to Alamoth, a song. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Well, firstly then, we're going to see together from God's word that you can trust the Lord even if the world falls apart. You can trust the Lord even if the world falls apart. And this is verses 1 to 3 of Psalm 46. Well, verse 1, it's the key to this whole psalm. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. In fact, you could say that the whole psalm just keeps going back again and again and again to this one verse. It's saying this verse over and over again to us. Because God can be trusted. God can be trusted because of his greatness, because he exists outside of the universe. And he's all-powerful, he's all-knowing, he's sovereign and control over everything. And he's the ultimate castle. He's the ultimate fortress. He is the ultimate safe space. Did you notice, well, that key word in that first verse? God is our refuge and strength. God is our refuge and strength. You see, you can trust the Lord because if you're a Christian, if you've sought forgiveness for your sins because of the Lord Jesus Christ, if you're a child of God, then God is your heavenly Father. He is your refuge and your strength. You see, the one who created the universe, the one who knows everything, the one who knows what's going to happen tomorrow, next week, next month, next year. The one who knows every planet and every star. The one who knows exactly how many hairs there are on your head. That God, that Lord, is your refuge and strength. You see, he sent his only Son into the world to live for you and to die for you, to bear the punishment that your sins deserve, so that you could be brought into God's family. And if he gave up his only Son for you, then how much more will he, verse 1, be an ever-present help in trouble? You see, the Lord is the gold standard by which all other things can be trusted. And the psalmist, he's telling us all this because he doesn't want us to be anxious. You see, it's very much like Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6. The psalmist doesn't want us to be anxious about anything when we remember the Lord. When we know what the Lord is like and that we know but he cares for his children. You see, we don't have to be anxious because the Lord is our rock. He is our refuge. We don't have to be anxious because the Lord can be trusted even if the world is falling apart. Now, it can feel at the moment as if the world is falling apart. You only have to take a trip down to Sainsbury's at 8 o'clock in the morning or try and work your way into Waitrose. And when you finally get the way through the door, past the massive crowds who are waiting, there are big gaps on our shelves. Things which have gone out of stock, which we never imagined would disappear from the shelves again. Things as silly but as essential as things like hand soap and pasta and toilet roll. We're also being told by our government that we need to stay at home. When was the last time our government did that? The schools are shutting. We used to moan when we had one or two snow days. But now it feels as if everything is starting to slowly fall apart as the schools are shut and we don't know when they're going to reopen again. Today, of course, is Mother's Day. And one of the knock-on effects of this world that feels like it's falling apart is that we won't necessarily be able to see our mothers today, whether to protect our own health or whether to protect theirs, because the government is telling us that we should stay at home. Cafes closed, the government talking about the biggest possible stimulus to the economy in years, talk of war against a virus. It can feel very much as if our world is falling apart. But if you look at verses 2 to 3, we see actually an even greater picture of disaster than loo rolls being missing and the hospitals being filled and the schools being shut. Because the psalmist wants to give us a picture in our mind's eye. He wants to give us a picture of the greatest possible physical danger, of what it would be like if all the land in the world was sucked into the ocean. That's the worst possible thing that could happen to our earth if everything was to disappear. In verse 2, the psalmist says, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. See, it's funny, in the world in verses 2 to 3 is quite literally falling apart. The psalmist is thinking about creation breaking. God called land to come out of the water in Genesis chapter 1. But here in the psalm, things are going backwards. The earth is being destroyed. The seas are foaming. The storms are raging. And the land is disappearing in the greatest possible disaster. But even in the midst of that destruction and disorder, even if the earth was to give away, the psalmist tells us that we can trust God. That you can trust the Lord even if the world is falling apart. That you can trust the Lord even if the world is going crazy because of the virus. Why? Because if you go back to verse 1 again, if you belong to God, if you're a Christian, then the eternal creator of heaven and earth is your refuge and your strength. He is an ever-present help in trouble. God is bigger and greater than anything in the whole of creation. And everything is under his control. And we can trust him in the midst of it. This, of course, raises the question, why is it that God doesn't always seem to act? Why, when God's people are suffering, doesn't he stop to act, to end it all? And the answer to that, it's not straightforward. But what we do know is we know what God is like. We know that he is good and faithful. But what we don't have is we don't have all of the facts. We can't see what God does. We don't know everything that God knows. But we have to take him at his word. But the thing is that the Lord really can be trusted. The Lord really is working for our good. The Lord really is the only one who we can truly run to when it feels as if the world is falling apart. You see, you can trust the Lord even if the world falls apart. Secondly, then, we're going to see together this morning that you can trust the Lord even when attacked. You can trust the Lord even when attacked. This is verses 4 to 7 of the psalm. Let's read those together again. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Now, the psalmist wants us to imagine the ancient city of Jerusalem, that capital of Israel, where in the Old Testament, the Lord God himself is where he lived, where he dwelt on earth in the midst of his people. He lived in a palace, in a temple, right at the heart of the people of Israel. Now, in ancient times, Jerusalem was rather vulnerable to attack. You see, the place where Jerusalem is almost slap bang in the middle of all the major empires that were coming from the east or coming from the west. And so whenever an army was out on the rampage, out to campaign and occupy, well, it very often wasn't long before it came to Jerusalem. But Jerusalem, as a city, was fortified. It was like a castle. There was a big wall that surrounded the city, for the soldiers could man and they could defend to the last. And in the days of King Hezekiah, they even had a tunnel dug to make sure that fresh water could come into the city, even if they were besieged, even if there was a foreign army around them and attacking them, they would still have water in the midst of God's city, giving water and life to all the people who were there. But more importantly for the psalmist, is that right in the midst of Jerusalem, it's not a water spring, it's not a mighty soldier, but right in the midst of the city, past the ramparts, past the river that's coming into the city, is God's house, is God's temple where the Lord himself lives. It's the Lord himself who provides the strength of the city. He is the fortress and the castle. You see, it doesn't matter how big the walls are or how good the soldiers on them are. If the Lord is with them, they will be protected. Their foreign armies might attack. Their raiding mobs might try and have a go. God is providing the ultimate security for his city. The same God who brought them out of exile from Egypt, the same God who has delivered them again and again and again, is in that city. Now today, Jerusalem is not the capital of God's people. But in the New Testament, we're given the picture of the people of God, of all Christians, forming a new Jerusalem. A people that's made of Christians from every nation on earth, who will one day, as the book of Revelation describes it, live together in the new Jerusalem. It's going to be a place of safety and peace for all of God's people forever. And there in the middle of it will be the Lord himself. You see, the Lord can be trusted even when you're attacked. The people of Israel had to discover that again and again and again when they were attacked. But the Lord was in the middle of Jerusalem. But nowhere was this more seen more perfectly than in the life of Jesus, who suffered great abuse and was ultimately persecuted to death by evil men. The Apostle Peter writes in 1 Peter chapter 2, and verse 23, he says this. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threat. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. You see, when Jesus was attacked, he trusted the one who provides the security for Jerusalem. He trusted the one who promises not to let the city fall. Why? Because though Christ died, in the power of God, he came back to life again. Though Jesus appeared to have been defeated, the Lord proved his trustworthiness to his promises by raising the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead again, as we rejoice each and every Sunday, remembering the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And now, today, Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father in heaven, interceding for us. Jesus, the one who made the stars, he's in the heavens right now, working out all things for our good. He controls the rising of the sun. He's planned the future. And one day he's going to return to judge the earth. But today, this morning, this Sunday, he's working to see his kingdom grow and to support his people. It's hard not to feel as though the church is under attack today. After all, this building which I'm speaking to you from is an empty church building. I can just hear the faint sound of traffic going past and the bleep of the answering phone message. But that's it. And tomorrow, this building is going to be empty. We're not going to be gathering together in person. I'm not going to have the joy of seeing you all face to face, meeting physically for quite some time. And some of us are going to be feeling rather isolated. Some of us are going to be feeling afraid. Some of us are going to be feeling worried. Some of us are going to wonder if things are ever going to go back to normal again. And we well know that the devil is active in this world. And this morning, it could feel as if the devil is winning because of the way in which he's taken advantage of the coronavirus. But actually, even though we've been split up, even though we're not able to gather together in person, the truth is that the Lord is providing the security of Jerusalem. The Lord is providing the security for the church. The Lord is working this Sunday to build his church. You see, God's people isn't a city which can be attacked by armies and catapults and soldiers and guns and tanks. It's God's forever people who are never going to be defeated because the Lord Jesus Christ was never defeated. He rose from the dead, and today he is ruling and reigning over everything. So no matter what the attack is, no matter what ingenious scheme the devil might have to keep us apart from each other, no matter what plan Satan might have to try and thwart God's plans, no matter what, the Lord can be trusted. His words are true. Thirdly and finally then, we're going to see in an unexpected twist, really quite a surprising twist, but it's not just that we can rely on the Lord, but thirdly and finally, that you must trust the Lord. You must trust the Lord. And this is in verses 8 to 11. Now, so far we've seen that God is our refuge against all the chaos in the physical world, over oceans and seas, and even over viruses. And we've seen that God is a refuge against whatever attack might have come against us, and again, especially against the church as God's people, and whatever Satan might be up to in this world. But in verses 8 to 11, we see something astonishing. You see, it's not just that God can protect us from harm. It's that God can control the very people, the very things that might harm us. You see, in verse 8, we get a preview of the future, into a time when the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come again at the end of history. Just listen to verses 8 to 11. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Now people, human beings, are warlike. We only have to look around our world and see the destructions that wars cause, whether it be from Libya and Syria to Afghanistan, whether it be in South Sudan. Images of war and destruction which can fill our TV screens, our newspapers, our internet on a what feels like a daily basis. There's so much misery in our world. You see, we often talk about the progress which the human race has made. After all, there's been huge advances in medical care over the last 100 years, for which we give God huge thanks for. We've developed antibiotics, we've advanced in our treatment of cancer and in creating such wonderful marvels as things like ventilators. Education has spread around the world. Many more girls go to school than have ever gone before in history. Democracy and human rights have expanded across much of the earth. But even so, the 20th century was still the most violent century there has ever been. More than 160 million people died in the 20th century in wars alone. But there is a day coming when the Lord is going to put an end to all this. You see, Jesus has the power to stop people from doing what their sinful instincts might drive them to do. He can break all the bows and he can shatter all the spears. And Jesus, on that final day, he's not going to just protect his people. He's going to put an end to all war. There'll be no more death or destruction or pain. The Lord will crush anyone who opposes his plan to bring peace to the earth. You see, there is no army, there's no air force, there is no navy that is going to be able to resist him. There is no country who is able to be a match to the Lord. The US or Russia or China or NATO, they're all going to have their weapons broken by him. And then we reach verse 10. This is possibly one of the most misused verses in our entire Bibles. You'll often see it on nice tea towels and posters. And it will say, "Be still and know that I am God." And it sounds lovely, doesn't it? It sounds really lovely and encouraging. But it's not a verse that is actually about having a quiet time. It's not a verse about being quiet before a church service or going away on some sort of retreat. This verse is God's demand of surrender. It's an ultimatum. It's God saying to us, surrender yourself to the Lord or be crushed. Be still could perhaps better be put, hands up. Surrender. Don't make any move. Because the Lord Jesus is coming to end all war and to end all evil and to end all sin. Because that war, that evil in this world, it starts in our hearts. You see, out of our hearts, Jesus said, comes sexual immorality. Theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All of these evils come from inside and defile a person. You see, war starts in our hearts. It starts in your hearts. It says that what is yours is mine, and I want it. And I'm going to get it. And Jesus stops that war. And before he does, the Lord says to you, be still. And know that I am God. Surrender yourself. Come to God for forgiveness. Because verse 10, God will be seen to be the mightiest, the most powerful being in the entire universe. And who can stand against him? Who could possibly fight him and win? Surrender yourself to him. Except that he is victorious over every human heart. You see, we can trust the Lord. We can trust the Lord when everything seems to be falling apart, when the world is going crazy. We can trust the Lord when we feel as though we are under attack. But trusting the Lord isn't an optional extra nice help in our lives. It's not an optional extra to help us get through day by day. It's not an optional extra to help us to deal with these weeks of isolation. because as part of his protection for the world, God has promised that he's going to end all evil in this world. All evil in this world, including the evil within our own hearts. You see, you must trust the Lord. We need to trust the Lord, and we need to say that he is the Lord of everything, even me and the wrong that I would seek to do. You see, this morning you must come to the Lord and ask him to be your Lord. Ask him to help you to rely on him for everything. And as you come to him, as you seek his forgiveness, you'll find, just as this psalmist did when they were writing this song thousands of years ago, you'll find that the Lord is the one who can be trusted with all of life. For the Lord can be trusted when it feels as if the world is falling apart. The Lord can be trusted when we're suffering, when we're alone, when we're afraid. The Lord can be trusted when it feels as though the church is being attacked, because he is our refuge. He is our strength. The Lord is good. The Lord is good. He can be trusted when our world is in chaos. But you must trust the Lord today. You must trust the Lord Jesus before he returns again to destroy everything evil on this earth. Let's pray. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that we can trust you, that you are reliable, that you are our fortress and our refuge. We pray that we might come and find forgiveness through the Lord Jesus Christ. But Father, that in these trying days, you will strengthen us day by day, and that you will prove your promises to be true forever and ever. Amen.